Sure, I can keep track of my schedule on the computer, I can make appointments on my iPhone, but I prefer a wall calendar I can see every day.
It's an annual tradition, and the 2018 wall calendar from Insight for Living Ministries is ready at insight.org.
My time is precious, and this calendar provides a positive place to manage my time wisely.
The theme for 2018 is My Little Children Love One Another. With colorful photographs that illustrate expressions of Christian love, the calendar is designed to uplift your perspective every day. And each month features a Bible verse that celebrates Christian love.
In 1 John 3:18, we read, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions."
The 2018 calendar from your friends at Insight for Living Ministries. My Little Children Love One Another. Get your copy today by going to insight.org. Abraham is one of the grand patriarchs of our faith. And although his name appears in the earliest portions of Scripture, Abraham's story is woven throughout the entire fabric of the Bible. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a new study of this man's life. The series is titled Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. In the course of our study, we'll discover how this patriarch blazed a trail of courage for the rest of us. He taught us how to trust God in every facet of our lives. Chuck called today's message, A Patriarch in Panorama.
Let's take up the story of Abraham in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. This busy city of Ur in Mesopotamia, we read that our father appeared to Abraham. Notice Abraham doesn't reach out to God. God appears to Abraham. That's grace. God doesn't seek and find us because we begged him to. God found us on his own and set his love upon us. In fact, he said to Abraham, verse 3, leave your country and your relatives. Come into the land that I will show you. Notice he doesn't tell him where it is. Remember, his leaving is unpredictable. And then he, that's Abraham, left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran from there after his father died. Unpredictably, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. From everything we can read, Abram has lived in Ur of the Chaldeans all his life. His father has his generational records kept there, verse 27. His father is the carver of idols, remember. He's the idolater, led his family into idolatry. It's a whole family of idolaters, surrounded by idolaters, living, end of verse 28, in Ur of the Chaldeans. We went quickly over verse 28, and I should have mentioned that Terah had three sons. They are named for us, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot, verse 27 concludes, and then Haran dies in the presence of his father Terah. We know nothing of the details, but he leaves as an orphan Lot. Lot then is Abram's nephew, the son of his brother, who is deceased. Then we read more and we come to verse 30, where Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, Sarai's daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife. They went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. Now, they didn't know at the time they were on the way to Canaan. They went out going, not knowing, which is the subject of next time we're together. We'll think about that in detail, which explains many of our lives. We occasionally have going somewhere, not knowing the full reason, until later we look back and go, that was why God led like he did. So it is with Abram. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and he dies in Haran. Now the Lord speaks to Abram, and here is this unconditional Abrahamic covenant. Mark it well. It is affirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed yet again all the way through the life of Abraham. God gave him a promise. You will have this family, and this family will be so significant, the nations will learn of it and will ultimately realize my blessing rests on them. Why? Because I choose to love them. Goes back to his grace. I've set my love on this nation. You will be the pupil of my eye, and I want to carry out my plan through you. It will be through you the world will become evangelized. It will be through you that they will learn of the God of heaven. It will be through you that they will realize the whole prophetic plan for the future revolves around you. You are the nation I've chosen, God's sovereign right. He chose that people. And he tells Abram over and over again, you're going to have a son, you're going to begin your family. And that's why he reiterates the promise, because Abram is getting older. Getting older. Chapter 13, he's older. God reiterates. Chapter 17, he's older. God reiterates. Chapter 22, of all things, after God has given him his son, listen to this. God says, now, and by the way, can you imagine a 100-year-old man with a brand new baby, what that baby must have meant to that man? And as he grew up, can you imagine how he, may I say it, idolized that little boy? He's like a great-great-grandfather, but it's his son he's holding in his arms, that warm little life, whom they name Isaac. There are so many stories woven into this story that we can't appreciate them in such an overview. But I want you to get the feel of it, because when you get to chapter 22, God says, sacrifice your son. Take your son up on the mount. Take the wood. Take the torch. Put him on the altar. And sacrifice him. When I use those words, I have a chill that's going up my back right now, because I can imagine that. But you know what? By then, Abraham, whose son is now a young man, has walked with God long enough to know he can trust him, even when he asks the unthinkable. Without wanting to be insulting, most of us have not reached that stage in our Christian life. That's why we can hardly imagine Abraham getting up early the next morning, arousing his son, saying, come with me, we have a task to take care of. Why would God do that? Let's test where your love really is, Abram. This precious little life you have raised, you and Sarah, now that you're even older than when he came to you, we want to be sure that you have first things first. Let's be sure that the one who reached into Ur of the Chaldeans and chose you is still first place in your heart. So I say to you, sacrifice your son. You know the story, and we'll leave it until we get to chapter 22, but it's a magnificent story. Wrapping it all up, turn to Romans chapter 4. Will you do that, please? Romans 4. Love this chapter in Romans because it ties in with the life of Abraham. And when you know the life of Abraham, you realize how significant these words are and how much they mean not only to him, but to all of us. Here we are, Romans 4, verse 18. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, A father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Look at 18. I read 16 through now 18. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he, that's Abraham, might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. I love the way the old King James renders this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. See verse 19? Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not stagger in unbelief. He did not waver, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? Because he was fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He doesn't know that when God chooses him in Ur of the Chaldeans. All he knows there is idols. But in the process of being selected and loved as an outcast and chosen and cultivated and brought to faith, Abram slowly but surely during these years we study his life, 100 years of life, we find that Abraham has grown into such a place that he doesn't stagger when God says it, but by faith he trusts God at his word. Now then, what are the lessons we learned? We go right back to the things we learned about God, and they apply to our lives today. Are you ready? Number one, by faith we accept God's infinite love. We accept it. We have to do that by faith because we can't think of any reason God would have for selecting us or staying by our side or using us or guiding us. But he sought for us and he found us where we were. He knew everything about us and he loved us still. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Why? Grace, grace, because he chooses to love us. So by faith, we accept it. We know we don't deserve it, but we accept it. And that's a very important part of the life we call the Christian life. We operate our lives knowing that we are loved and valued by God. Here's the second. Knowing we are loved by faith, we follow God's unpredictable guidance. Knowing we are loved by God, by faith, we follow his unpredictable guidance. Why would I, at the age I was, way back when I was ministering in the state of California and had been there almost 25 years, why would I up and leave the familiar church that I was a part of to the very soles of my shoes and the top of my head? I thought, dreamed, planned, worked in that ministry all of those years and watched God bless it and flourish it. I knew every back alley in the city of Fullerton and many of the others in Orange County. It was all familiar, and the Lord said to me, okay, Chuck, I want you to go back to Dallas and lead Dallas Seminary. I go, what was that again? And the process took a while. And, I wasn't that old. I was in my late 50s. But why would I want to go back to Texas? It's hot there. And 100 other reasons I would. I'm not familiar with. I have no friends. I've got all my friends and family go. How could I finally do that? Because I remembered he loves me, and he would not guide me into a place I should not go. He will make it clear. He will make it understandable as far as he can take me. But I'm going to trust him. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Lead me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. That's the way God operates. We're led to pull up stakes. You were led to do that. And before we are through with this study, some of you will have been led elsewhere. You don't know that right now. You say, don't tell me that. I can't stand moving. Don't tell me that. Well, I don't care. Nobody hates moving more than I do. Done a lot of it. Why? Because he guides me unpredictably. Number three, knowing we're loved and led, don't miss this. See the chronology of it? Knowing we are loved and led, we anticipate God's astonishing blessings. And my, do they unfold. Knowing we are loved and led, we anticipate God's astonishing blessings. Though right now, we don't know what they will be yet future. You think you have been blessed by God? Why? You haven't lived tomorrow. You don't know what next week holds. Some of you are all worried about getting up in years. I mean, after all, you're 62. Get a life. Abram's 100 years old before he has a baby. Knock off all this stuff that you read about and hear about and surrounded by. That age means nothing. A few wrinkles, but, you know, that's another subject. God doesn't say, let's see, how old is he? Well, I couldn't ask that of him. Or how entrenched is he? I couldn't move. Please. When he loves you, he knows what's best. And he doesn't ask permission. Have you noticed? But he loves you. You and I are loved and valued by God. I have Dave Roper to thank for my closing words. Listen to them rather than going for your keys. Listen to the words of David Roper from his fine book titled Teach Us to Number Our Days. Listen to this. It's fabulous. A thing is given worth when valuable people ascribe value to it. Once again, a thing is given worth when valuable people ascribe value to it. Suppose, for example, you're a fledgling artist exhibiting your first efforts at arts in the park. No one is interested in your work. Those who do stop, gaze for a moment, and then look bored and move on. But then along comes Rembrandt, the great Dutch painter, the master of light and shadow. Rembrandt stops to peruse your paintings. Oh, pure genius, he exclaims. Marvelous talent, great potential. I'll give you 1,000,000 guilders for this work. God feels the same way about you. You are of infinite worth in his eyes. Imagine. The creator of the universe thinks you're something very special. Even if you're very old. It's been said that faith is the courage to accept acceptance. How can I not value what God values? I think of Bow Wow. Roper continues. I think of Bow Wow. 30 years ago, one of our sons adopted a rag dog he called Bow Wow. Bow Wow was the most precious thing that boy possessed. He had toys with more intrinsic value, but none did he love or value more. Bow Wow was Linus's blanket, Radar's teddy bear, and the Velveteen Rabbit, all rolled up into one. Bow Wow got dragged everywhere. And in time, he became incredibly dirty and ragged. But my, how he was loved. We are God's rag dogs. Yes, it's a great line. Why didn't I think of that? We are God's rag dogs, precious beyond all measure, because we are loved by the one who is love itself. It's that perspective that enables us to be chivalrous and magnanimous to others. Once we understand how deeply we're loved, we don't need to win all the time. We can set aside our envy and jealousy. We don't have to put others down or score a string of petty victories to feel good about ourselves. We don't have anything to prove. We've nothing left to prove. We're loved by infinite love. Oh, that is so good. I am loved and valued by God. Say that. I am loved and valued by God. You may believe it, but your faces don't show it. Let's do that again. I am loved and valued by God. Once more. I am loved and valued by God. It's called grace. Grace. Lord, guide us through this story of a great godly man's life. Take us through the tests as we see ourselves shown right there in the scriptures. Take us to the dark nights. Take us to the times of doubt. Take us to the pinnacle of praise and the great blessing when he realized you would keep your word. We come to you, Lord, knowing a week that has been anything but perfect, but we have never once found that you have thrown us out. Your patience is so ongoing, lasting, unconditional. Thank you for understanding us, for never walking away from us, never abandoning us, never telling us it's all over. How great is your grace, giving us what we don't deserve and showing favor that we cannot merit. And it goes on and on and on and on. We find that our worship is deepened because of your profound difference in our lives. And how valuable is that difference? Thank you for changing us and keeping us in the journey of transformation, moving us from the pit from which we have been dug to a plateau of understanding and then ultimately to soaring in your presence. All of it because of your love for us. We bask in that. How deep the Father's love. And so, counting on your compassion and accepting your patience and realizing your grace, we come grateful for your love. Use this study, use this life to change ours. May we operate on tiptoe from one time to the next, as we realize how God can take one from the pit of idolatry and turn him into the father of a nation. And if you can do that with him, what great grace you can do on our behalf, because we are loved and valued because of Christ. In his name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
We can see God's obvious touch of love and grace in Abraham's life, and his love and grace extend to us as well. You're listening to Chuck Swindoll and his first message in the brand new biographical series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To access the CDs for this series or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. Now, if you received Chuck's letter this month, you know that he carries a burden for the rising divisions in our land. At Insight for Living Ministries, we're doing everything possible to break down the walls that divide us by practicing genuine love and urging others to do the same. Paul said to the Romans, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Love each other with genuine affection." That means putting arms around those who are devastated by loss, showing up ready to help when a neighbor's home floods, and bringing meals to people returning home from the hospital. Because walls disappear when we really love people like that. When you give a donation to Insight for Living, your financial gift delivers Christ's amazing love to a divided world. The result? Changed hearts, renewed hope, unified people. And it's been wonderful to watch. Well, today, when you give a financial gift, or when you decide to give a monthly recurring donation as a monthly companion, we'll say thanks by providing a copy of the brand new 2018 wall calendar. Next year's theme is My Little Children Love One Another. Through real-life pictures of Christians expressing love within the body of Christ and through carefully selected scriptures, you'll want to place this calendar in a prominent spot at your home or office. And this special offer ends Tuesday, so be sure to get in touch today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll's biographical study on Abraham continues Monday, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Patriarch in Panorama, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.